chapter 15. I just appreciate the presence of God, appreciate the songs, appreciate God's people, amen. I have nothing bad to say about the church. I was thinking about that this morning. No regrets for being saved, no regrets for being in an old-fashioned church, no regrets for being a part of the family of God. And I just thank God that we have a good church to go to in these last days. And you know what makes the church good? It's the Lord. It's His presence. Just passing by this morning, amen. That makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? And I appreciate the Lord. If you'll stand with us this morning, Luke chapter 15. Appreciate Brother Laddie minding God this morning. Verse number 32. The Bible says, "It was meet that we should make merry." I'm thinking about that testimony. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Heavenly Father, help me this morning. Lord, I pray you'd touch me physically. I pray you'd touch me mentally and spiritually. And Lord, I pray that you'd get all the glory. I don't want to do anything to draw attention to my flesh this morning in any way, but I pray you'd be pleased. God, help me set a watch before my lips this morning. And God, I pray that you'd do the work that only you can do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to preach a few minutes this morning on this subject, on the brother who had no joy. The brother who had no joy. You know what? We just witnessed a brother who is full of joy. But here we have a brother who has no joy. And the father is encouraging the brother to rejoice. You know, I'm glad this morning that, and the verses have already been quoted, but I'm glad that God encourages us to rejoice. The Bible said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy." The Word of God said in Psalms 100 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Come into His presence, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord," how? "With gladness." It is meet that we should make merry. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. And so the Father is saying in this first statement to this brother who has no joy, He talks about the importance of rejoicing. Notice He said it was meet. It was necessary that we be merry and be glad. You know, when we go to the house of God, it's necessary. It's important that we rejoice in singing and testifying in worship, in prayer. It's important that we rejoice. It's necessary. And notice the involvement of rejoicing here as He says, it was meet that we. Notice He said we. Not that you, but the Father said that we. In other words, the Father didn't start a celebration and get on the sidelines, but He got involved in the worship, in the enjoyment, the celebration. You know, if we'll worship God, He'll get involved, amen. He'll get right in the middle of it. In other words, it's not go to church and hope and wait for God to show up, but if we'll just magnify, as He's already quoted, if we'll magnify the Lord, if we'll bless His name, if we'll lift His name up in song. The choir was singing and I felt His presence. When they started singing those special songs, you felt His presence in the testimony. You felt His presence in the preaching. You can feel the presence of God. The Father wants us to be involved, and He will get involved Himself in worship. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says here in this same chapter, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Well, if the sinner's doing the repenting and the angels are standing there and watching, I wonder who's doing the rejoicing. Amen? Well, it would have to be the shepherd who's a picture of the Savior. And it would have to be the woman who is a picture of the Spirit. And it has to be the Father here who says that it is meet that we make merry. What I'm telling you, if you'll worship God, and if I worship God, and if we'll get involved in rejoicing, He'll get involved with us. Amen? And that's why when people magnify God, and when we magnify Him in song, we lift our voice up in song. When the choir sings, we feel His presence. You know why? Because when we worship Him and we magnify Him, He gets involved in that, doesn't He? There's the intent of rejoicing. He said here that it is meet that we should make merry. You notice that this merriness is not based upon feelings. Amen. I know the Father felt love and the Father felt compassion. But I want to tell you, those servants, we don't know if they felt anything or not. For they were not family. We don't know what they may have felt. The sinner felt something. The Father felt something. But everybody's getting in. Amen. And what that tells me is that worship, you can have feelings in worship, but thank God you can worship on purpose. Amen. He said it's just important that we make merry and be glad. In other words, I can be happy, I can rejoice no matter what's going on in life. I can rejoice because the Father said, remember He said, let us eat and be merry. And that's the Father's plan, that's the Father's will. And when it comes to worship, we're to worship Him because it's what He wants. It's not based on what I feel, it's not based on what I want, but it's based on what He deserves. It's based on what He calls for. And here we find that He said it's meet that we should make merry and be glad. You know, sometimes you got to think yourself happy, don't you? Sometimes you might be down. You might be in the valley. But thank God He's the lily of the valley. Amen. And then there's the identity of rejoicing. He says to this boy that has no joy, He said, it's meet. It's necessary. It's important that we make joy, or that we make merry, and that we be glad. And there's an identity. The Father was not ashamed to be identified with what was going on. And those servants were not ashamed to be identified with what's going on. I want to say this morning, I've never been ashamed by the good grace of God, and I hope I never am, to be identified with what just went on this morning with old time worship. It may not suit everybody's fancy, but thank God I'm glad I got in something that's worth shouting about. I'm glad I got in something that's worth praising God for. He's still worthy to be exalted. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that. But there's one thing about our text that is for sure. You cannot rejoice when you're not right with your brother or you're not right with your father. This boy had no joy. He couldn't rejoice because he wasn't right. And the reason he wasn't right with his brother is because he wasn't right with his father. To start out with, you know, when people are not right with God, they will not be right with the church. Amen. It should not surprise us when people start distancing themselves from us, because when they distance themselves from God. Now, they can be in church. They can be around the brethren. This boy was around everything that was going on. But because he did not have a right relationship with his father, he would not have a right relationship with his brother. I'm telling you, I see that, and you see that week in and week out. When people are backslid, when they're out of God's will, they may be in church, but when they're out of God's will or lost or not right with God, they'll never have a right relationship with you. I don't care what. Listen, we ought to do our best. We ought to love them. We ought to encourage them. We ought to be a blessing to them. But don't be surprised if one day they walk out the door and they walk away from me, because, hey, it's not us. We're not the problem. His brother that came home is not the problem. It's not the father that's the problem. But this boy has a heart problem. He's got some issues going on in his life. He can blame the father. He can blame the brethren. But the real problem is himself. Hallelujah. Now, I know I'm preaching to people right now. That you got your list as to why you're the way you are. But I'm going to tell you something. If everything come to an end right now, and you were standing before God, that little old list won't do you any good. Because the problem is not the brethren. The problem is not the church. Well, preacher, I don't like this and that. No, I'm telling you, the problem is your heart this morning. Your heart ain't right with God. Amen. I'm telling you, you say, well, some things I don't like around. Hey, listen, I'm the pastor, and there's things I don't like around here. Get in line, amen? That's just the way it is. Can I get a witness, amen? And I'm telling you, listen, I'm not running this thing. There's somebody bigger than me running this thing. And if it's what He wants, and if it's the way He wants it, I'm just going to do it the way God wants it done. And I'm telling you, listen, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. This church ain't perfect. And you're not perfect. None of us are perfect. And so we just got to worship God and get along in
spite of our imperfections. But I'm telling you, when people, they'll love the church when they're right with God because they love the Father. But when they get away from God, they're not lost, but they've left their first love. And when you leave your first love, nobody else is going to make you happy in life. That's why when people, they get married, and they decide they want out of that marriage. They're determined to find a way out. They ain't no more got a reason to get divorced than anything, but they find a way. And they get what they want. I know divorces happen for a number of reasons. It always gets quiet when you preach it, but I got to preach this. Because it could be somebody sitting here thinking about it. You can get what you want. But I'll tell you, you can get married 10 times over. You'll never find what you were looking for. That's just true this morning. And the reason this boy could have no joy was because when you're bitter, you cannot rejoice. You cannot rejoice properly. He was bitter, so he could not rejoice properly. He was angry, so he could not rejoice properly. When you're angry, you cannot have joy. Anger takes all the joy away from you. Bitterness takes all the joy away from you. He was self-centered. When you're self-centered, listen, when it's all about you, it was all about him, you cannot rejoice properly. When you're jealous, he was jealous of a brother. When he had everything, he wanted the one thing that the Father gave to his brother. Now, have you seen people like that? They've got everything. God's been good to them, but they can't see the Father's goodness because they want that one thing that somebody else has got that was given to them. I'm going to tell you something. This text proves the Father is able to be good to me, and he's able to be good to you, and he blesses all of us in different ways, and we're to be content with the things that we have and not want what somebody else has got. But he was jealous. He wanted that brother off the scene. He didn't want him around, and there's a lot of people like that. And as long as they're number one, they're happy. But when somebody else comes in, or they feel like somebody else is cramping their style or taking up a little bit of space, all of a sudden they're not happy. I'm going to tell you something. You cannot rejoice when you got jealousy down in your heart. People say, well, I don't have a jealous bone in my body. I've never read in the Bible where jealousy got in your bones. But it gets down in your heart. Isn't that right? And when you're lost, you cannot rejoice properly. The reason he's bitter and anger and self-centered and full of jealousy is because he's lost. He's as lost as the other boy is, so he has no joy. I'm telling you, you don't know joy till you know Jesus. Amen? And then when you know Jesus, you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm telling you, the singing will help you. The preaching will help you. The testifying will help you. Everything will be a blessing to you. The fellowship of the saints will help you. You know, I'm glad that we're not perfect. Amen? I'm glad we don't have a perfect church. You know why? Because I could join it and be a part of it. And you could join it and be a part of it. Amen? But we have to work together. We have to work through things. You say, Brother Gravely, have you heard something? Hadn't heard a thing. And if I did, I'd still preach on it. Amen? I'm just telling you this morning, I hadn't heard nothing. But for some reason, I feel like I'm right on the possum trail this morning. I'm telling you, there's some people, the reason they can't get in on worship is because they've never got in it to begin with. You got to be born again. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, there's something wrong with a person that cannot rejoice with another brother. I want you to note that he might could have rejoiced on some things, but he can't rejoice on this. There's this one person he can't rejoice. And you know, you can be saved and lose all your joy. That's what the psalmist said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. You can lose the joy of your salvation. You can get bitter. A saved person can get angry. A saved person can get full of jealousy. A saved person can get full of selfishness and self-centered. But what it always does is it takes away that joy. And listen, here's a brother. He might could have been happy about some things on the farm. But on this day, with this one person, he said, I'm not rejoicing with that person. Now, but you got to be careful, and I have to be careful, that we get something against one person. You get something, I get something against somebody, then it can hinder our joy. I know a man that's out of church today because he got bitter at a man that has no idea to this day. To this day, to my knowledge, the other man has no idea that he's bitter. But he wouldn't deal with the bitters. And so the bitterness turned into anger, and the anger turned into pride, and the pride just kept beating down further. And now he's completely out of church, and his family's a mess, and they're just in a mess. And you say, what is that? Just being mad at one person, just keeping one thing against one person. Okay, I'll tell you, it'll lock your spiritual life down. And this he could not rejoice. This brother had no joy. And so the father is trying to teach this boy a lesson about rejoicing. He wants him to know that rejoicing does not depend on what makes you happy. It depends on what makes the father happy. I'm going to tell you the reason this boy should have went in and hugged that brother's neck and celebrated with him and everybody on the inside is because it's what the father wanted. Amen? And I'll tell you, if it pleases God, it ought to please us. And when you have a right relationship with God, you have a right relationship with others. And so the compassion of this father in verse 32 gives this boy three reasons why that he should have joy. Number one, because a brother is recognized. Look what he said. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. Here it is. For this thy brother. Now, the brother wouldn't call him his brother. He tells the father, he said, this as soon as this thy son. He didn't acknowledge him as his own brother. He was dead to him. But the father turns it right around and said, reminds him, he is your brother. This thy brother. Listen, that elder brother wouldn't recognize that younger brother, but the father recognized him. And you know that's what counts, amen? It's not what the brethren think and what the brethren say. It's what the father thinks and what the father says. And so to recognize this brother, it means he's been forgiven, amen? Colossians 1 and verse 14 says, in whom? We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I want to tell you, we can shout because we've been forgiven. And we can shout because others have been forgiven. And this means that He is family. Amen? Ephesians 2 and verse number 19 says, now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. Thank God I'm glad I'm in a better household. Amen? I no longer belong to the devil. Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. I'm telling you, to be recognized by the Father, it means you've been forgiven. It means you're family. Hallelujah. And it means that you're favored. Hallelujah. He's been favored. Romans 5 and verse 20 said, moreover, the law entered in the that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm telling you, I'm just a sinner that's been saved by grace. I'm glad we're a brand just plucked out of the fire. There's a time when I was headed to hell, but thank God I'm on my way to heaven. There's a time I was a child of the wrath, but now thank God I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to be saved. Praise God. Oh, we can rejoice because a brother has been recognized. And then secondly this morning, not only can we rejoice because a brother has been recognized, but we can rejoice because a brother is resurrected. Amen. Notice he said, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He's no longer dead. Now, what does that mean? That dead means that it means that he was dead, meaning by that he had no communication with him. When that boy left home, there was no communication. When people die, we have no longer communication with them in this world. Dead meaning they had no contact with him. And when people die, we cannot, as David said, we can go to where they are if they're saved, but they cannot come back to us. And so when people die, we cannot communicate with them. We cannot contact them anymore. And this boy, when he left home, he did not communicate with the father. He did not contact the father. There's no communication. There's no contact. Hey, hear me, sinner. When you're lost, you are not communicating with God. There's no contact with Him. You see, man's body, soul, spirit. In the spirit of a man, you see, a vegetable's got a body, and an animal's got a body and a soul. It's soulless. It has a seat of emotions. It can love. An animal can hate. An animal can have anger. A vegetable can't love or hate or have anger. Body and soul, soulless. But a man has a spirit. God breathed into Adam, and Adam became what? A living soul. He has a spirit. God is a spirit. Now, what is your spirit? Your spirit is that part of you that allows you to know God. It allows you to enjoy God. It allows you to worship God. And so when a man's spirit is dead, he doesn't know God, he doesn't worship God, and he doesn't enjoy God. He may get in on a little bit of a service, but it doesn't mean anything to him. But when a man gets born again, you know what happens? God quickens that conscience. That spirit becomes alive. Amen. He gets justified immediately. Amen. And thank God when that spirit comes alive, now he knows God. Now he can enjoy God. The things he once hated, now he loves. And the things he once loved, now he hates. And now he can worship God. He can get in on what's going on. What I'm saying is this boy was dead, meaning he had no communication. He had no contact. He had no common interest with him. The things the father loved, he didn't love. That's why he loved the far country. That's why he couldn't wait to leave. But when he come alive again, when he come back home, all he wanted to do was be around the father. All he wanted to do was love what the father loves. Hey, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. Colossians 2 and verse 13 says, in you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. I think about John 5 and verse 24. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. Now that's a good phrase right there. You say, preacher, how do you know you're saved? I'm no longer condemned. Amen. Thank God I don't get up worrying about going to hell. I never think about going to hell anymore. Somebody can preach on hell. I may get a burden for somebody, but I don't think about going to hell. You know why? Because there's now, Romans 8:1, there's now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise God. I tell you, I'm glad therefore being justified, Romans 5 and verse 1, by faith. We have peace with God. You know what peace with God does? It rolls back the condemnation, and it rolls in justification. It rolls back the fear, and it rolls in the faith. Thank God, I'm telling you, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Go back to John 5:24. He said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. But here it is, it's passed from death unto life. Thank God there's a resurrection that takes place when you get born again. You come out of the graveyard. You come out of the tomb. Just like Jesus got up. When a sinner gets born again, they get resurrected. Hallelujah. I'd say that's worth rejoicing over. Amen. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And ye who were dead in your trespasses and sin. Where in time past you walked. Remember your past? Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even we were dead in Christ, he hath quickened us together. That means to be made alive. He hath quickened us together in Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Hallelujah. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I wasn't feeling this good when I started, but I'll tell you, I'm feeling real good right now. I'm saying we got a good reason to rejoice, because thank God that brother's been resurrected. Hallelujah. He's been recognized. You are recognized as a child of God. You have been resurrected. And then finally, notice this last thought. Because he has been rescued. He was lost and is found. You know, I thought I was almost done preaching this series. And I got up this morning, God dropped three more sermons in my lap, just fast as I could write them. Now you say, preacher, I'll be glad when you're done. Well, maybe you will, but I ain't stopping till he quits giving them to me.
I started preaching this the last Sunday of December, and apart from five or six Sundays, when I started preaching it the last Sunday of December, I'll tell you, I didn't think I was preaching 2 or 3 weeks, let alone however many months it's been. But I'm telling you, when God does that, you can't do that in and of yourself. That tells me God is driving the point home to somebody. So He is trying to get your attention, what He's trying to do. Listen, I haven't run to every commentary, hadn't looked for it a sermon. I just said, God, if you don't give me that, I'll preach whatever you give me. And I'm telling you, He just hung His hat here in Luke 15. I'm here to tell you this morning, friend, if you're on the outside looking in, you better get in while you can. If I was lost, I wouldn't wait another Sunday. Amen. If I was backslid, I wouldn't go home backslid. I don't care what time it is. I don't care how late the hour is. I'd come running to this old-fashioned altar. I'd say, it's me, oh God, I'm sorry. Would you rescue me from myself? Would you rescue me from hell? Would you rescue me from my sin this morning? Amen. This boy gets rescued. He's lost. Lost in his wants. He doesn't know what he wants. People that are lost and people that are backslid, they don't know what they want. They think if they get out there and do some things, it's going to make them happy and fulfill life, and it never does. And sin makes people so stupid, you can try to talk to them and tell them things and give them scripture, but they can't see. It's like the devil. They have put the devil's blinders on, and they are determined, they are bent to do what they're going to do, and the only thing that's ever going to wake them up is getting in a hog pen. But many never make it. You know that? Some die in the famine. You better wake up and think about that. You think you're going to go out and live in sin and do what you want to do, and one day you're going to get right with God? I'm going to tell you something. The graveyard is full of people that never fulfilled that plan. There are some that came home, but there are more that did not come home. They died out of the will of God. Amen. Brother Dave Terry, you said something the other Sunday, and I may not get the wording right, but you said something that really stuck with me in your testimony. Because I've wondered as a pastor down through the years, when people get out in sin and they backslide on God and they leave the church and their life starts falling apart, you know, just the common sense, the logical thing you think, but I'm looking at it from this side. The logical thing you would think that they would just come to their senses and say, you know, my life is terrible. And it wasn't this bad when I was at that church. And you would think they would just come back, but most of them don't. Most don't. Think about how many people's left that come back. Very, very few. And I wished I could put it the way you put it that Sunday. But you said something about that. Maybe am I right in this? You said you just, after a while, you don't even know why that you didn't come back. Or you made some statement there. I said it stuck with me, and now I can't remember it. But you made a statement that just answered that question. That you would just think that they wouldn't take too long to say. This boy comes, he comes to himself. But a lot of people never do they? They just go down that road, the road that leads to nowhere. He was lost in his wants. He was lost in his ways. He was lost in the world. But he's not lost anymore. And I want to say more about that, but I'm going to preach another sermon. So I'm going to leave it alone. But I want to tell you this in closing, Miss Sheila, if y'all come this morning. I'm going to tell you this in closing. If you're lost and you're in church, you're never going to have any joy. You might have some happiness, because happiness is based on happenings. But joy comes from within. You're going to never have any joy till you get saved. And there's people that they were, church is all they've ever known. And, you know who in my mind, I wouldn't want to embarrass her. Megan, you're a picture of what I'm preaching. And I'm going to tell you why. You were up here singing the other day, or maybe it was at camp, and maybe it was here. Because I've noticed it more than once. And before you got saved, raised in a good Christian home, Went to a good church, never got out in sin, gross sin. But ever since you got saved, she has a big smile. Have you noticed that? And before, when she sang, not being critical, you know, sometimes looking at people is hard, isn't it? But never no smile. And she was singing here, singing at camp the other night with the trio. And she had that big smile on her face. And I thought, that's the joy of salvation. Yeah. I'm telling you, getting pulled out of the pit, it'll put a smile on your face, won't it? You say, why is she smiling so much now? Because she knows what she's singing about. Yeah. See, she knew it before right here. But when she got born again, it come alive down in here. Got down in her heart. You see, that's what determines. Is it all in your head? Or has it ever got down in your heart? Listen, some people, and I'm not being funny, I'm just telling you, it's not funny. Some people, they go to church every Sunday, and they're just junkyard mean. Brother, I mean, they're mean. Some are mean in church. I've had poor old pastors say, I don't know how to deal with this person. I said, I don't know how to deal with them either. I hated it. I hated it to you, but I'd be lying to say rather you than me. I've said that to pastors. I said, you know, I said, brother, I said, they probably need a good old-fashioned dose of salvation. But they just mean. Just all the time edgy and ill, and it's not something they're going through. It's just who they are. Mean to their family. Just irate. You need a good old-fashioned dose of salvation. I'm not being mean to you. I love you enough this morning to just tell you the truth. Being good will never get you to heaven. You're going to have to get born. You ought to ask yourself why you don't have no joy. Why don't you have any joy? Can't be your brother. Can't be the father. No. Here's a boy that was around it all of his life and no joy. I wonder this morning as we stand, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I really want to give two propositions. There's two groups of people. Holy Spirit, Lord, I can't do anything. You can do everything.